Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Man, Loophole's being mean to Philip Rivers on the text line. A lot of shut up, B. 9654.
Hey,
9654 says Philip Rivers sucks. Not worried at all about Philip Rivers. 3695.
I remember you said that.
Says can't wait till JJ breaks that guy's leg. Good Lord, 5 weeks from the season. The venom is getting ugly here on Sports Radio 610. I need some spirituality in my life. Give me some music.
Come to the right
Figgy.
Place.
Give me some music, please. I need to cleanse my system with some of this hate. 0007. I hope T.Y. Hilton and Philip Rivers bump into each other and have concussions. What the hell is wrong with y'all?
They're loving their Texans, man.
Let's get spiritual. Let's go to NRG, live to training camp. No DeAndre Hopkins, but have no fear. Brandon Cooks is here. Buddies with Jack Easterby. Been on four different teams.
Served him.
Been on four different squads. You got to quit saying that.
He said it.
He's been I'm a people
Saints.
Person.
He said he served him.
He's been on the Patriots. He's been on the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been on a lot of good teams. He's played with some very good quarterbacks. Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Jared Goff. Now he's with Deshaun Watson. Brandon Cooks, finally in H-Town. Mr. Cooks, please, please, please cleanse the soul of the Loopholes. They really need it. 5 weeks away from the season. How does it feel to be in H-Town, Brandon?
It's great to be in the building, going through walkthroughs and being able to watch film together and understand what he's looking for and what he likes. So I think we've also been doing a great job of that as a group.
How would you compare kind of where you're at with him right now versus where you've been at this stage in a normal season with some of the other quarterbacks that you've played with during this kind of adjustment?
Well, I think this is the first time we're dealing with off season like this. So I don't think comparing would be fair. I think we just did a great job of getting together when we can. We had to make sacrifices. A lot of the stuff that was going on and understanding that we were limited. So I don't think it's fair enough to say or to compare to past off season.
Mark Berman.
Hey, Brandon, in your short time, or you've been here, short time you've been here.
Mark, where's your camera at, Mark? What's going on? You're not on?
Well, here, brother. Is better? There you go. What's going on?
How you doing?
What did you want to find out about Deshaun maybe in your first few times working with him? What have you found out? What are some things you can share there that maybe you didn't know that you wanted to find out?
I think it was more so, watching film and just, getting in person. Like, man, this guy throws a beautiful deep ball on the film. But is it like that, in real life? And, that was definitely the case. It's so effortless. His talent is out of this world. Is, when he's throwing the ball, it just seems like it's so easy. So to be able to match that up with watching film was incredible to see in person.
2 years ago when you guys went to the Super Bowl, David Johnson played both games against the Rams. And I know you weren't going against him, but he had almost 1,400 yards receiving and rushing and 10 touchdowns. What do you remember for him that season? What do you expect from him this season?
First of all, when you think of David Johnson, you talk about a guy that came into the league and has been special, since the moment that he stepped foot in this league, not just in the backfield, but like you said, he can run routes and catch the ball out the backfield. And so that's what I'm looking for, to be able to have a versatile threat like that on offense to pair up with everyone else we have, you know, I just look forward to seeing him be special. And, you know, I know that he's thinking to himself, he has a lot to prove. And I love to see that hunger from a teammate.
Yeah, Brandon, I actually wanted to follow up on that with David Johnson, because you guys have a unique set of running backs. How much have you guys been able to, I guess, evaluate or incorporate what the running backs are going to be as far as this passing game is concerned?
You know, no, that's a great question. I think with the time that we're in right now is really getting an understanding of the basic offense, you know, with the new guys and just honing in on the little details. As far as specifics, you know, we're going to have to lean on TK to be able to share that. I can't share that.
Sarah, are you there? Go ahead.
Uh-oh, Sarah. No camera?
I am hidden in the corner of my closet because it's the only place it's in my house right now. So.
All right.
It's kind of creepy.
This is obviously a very different off season for the rookies, especially. What are you telling some of the younger guys, especially the undrafted guys in that room, about what this is like and what they've got to do to make this team?
Yeah, no, I think the biggest thing is telling young guys right now to follow around a vet. You know, typically during this time, you have a lot more freedom around the facility to, you know, whether it's taking care of your body. I think it's important for them to understand that, you know, picking a vet that you trust and following when it comes to a routine, so you can be around and, you know, be healthy. And as far from a scheme standpoint, you know, we don't have too much things to do outside of here anyway. So the best thing you can do is focus on studying and showing the coaches that you know what you're doing. And so when we do go out there full speed, we're not missing a beat.
Brandon, what is the mindset when you're playing with a quarterback like Deshaun, who is known for his escapability, knows he can turn nothing into something in a great big hurry?
You know, I think my mindset is going to still continue to be the same. You know, get open as fast as I can, you know, within the timing and rhythm of the play. And if, you know, if things break down, you know, knowing that we got a quarterback back there that can escape and extend the play. But I don't want to have the mindset of thinking that I have a lot more time to do something just because of his abilities. I want to be able to take that pressure off for him as well.
Brandon, now that you're here, what are you liking about playing for the Texans so far? And how are you feeling health-wise? Are you 100% and everything?
Yeah, no, I feel great. I think the biggest thing that stands out right away is just how much, you know, the staff cares about us, you know, as players. You know, in this time, you come in and you may be a little worried or a little hesitant, but, gosh, they're doing everything they can to, you know, keep us safe. And make sure, you know, we got great food and, you know, great training staff, great weight room. I think that's been awesome just to be able to see how organized they are in such an uncertain time that we never dealt with before.
Brandon, a lot of talk from outsiders about your concussions of the past. What concussion concerns do you have? And can you tell us a bit about, what has happened in the past? Is that just things, a happenstance, or did you – perceive a pattern there with the medical staff?
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, I'm not worried at all. If there's any hesitation or worry, you know, I wouldn't be here right now. But, you know, I at the end of the day, things happen in this game that, you know, you wish don't happen. But when you start to learn through this process and you really start to get an understanding on what this is, there's so much out there that people just don't understand that goes into it. Everybody think, oh, it's just impact. And but without going into specifics, I'm comfortable and I feel great. And I look forward to continue to just, you know, do what I have to do and go out there and give it my all.
You played with Drew Brees and Tom Brady as they were later in their career. Is there anything about their approach to the game that they learned along the way that maybe a younger quarterback wouldn't know yet that you could pass on to Deshaun?
Yeah, I mean, I think you talk about and you know, I know you mentioned Drew and Tom, but, you know, Jared was a special guy as well. And you talk about a guy who had a routine. From all three of those guys, I think it's all about finding your routine and what works for you. It's not going to look the same for everyone else. But ultimately, what you see from those three guys is how much they put into their body and, you know, their focus on taking care of their body. And as long as you do that, I think everything else is going to fall into place.
Four straight 1,000-yard seasons for Brandon Cooks. That's Brandon Cooks live at training camp. David Johnson, we'll hear from him in a little bit. Third year in a row, David Johnson's been trying to shake them haters off. But four straight 1,000-yard years seasons before last year when he had the problems with concussions. I like the way Brandon Cooks sounds. He does seem like one of those guys that really does have a nice presence about him, can be a leader, and he is a very explosive, fast receiver when he's right. But is he DeAndre Hopkins? That's going to be the question that we ask. He's averaged over 15 yards a catch three of the last 4 years. So yeah, he can make the big plays, but can he make the plays that DeAndre Hopkins could make on third down when DeAndre Hopkins appeared to be covered and the Texans would move the chains? Or fourth and two against Kansas City where Deshaun's looking at him the whole time. I know we talk about spreading the rock, but there's going to have to be that guy, whether it's Fuller, whether it's Cooks, whether it's Stills, whether it's Cobb, that when you need to move the chains on third down, that Deshaun Watson can trust. And it's not just going to be relying on the system. There's going to be times where he's just going to have to trust somebody, and he's going to have to fill out the pressure.
And I'm really, really intrigued by how this is going to play out. Because that thing, your go-to safety net receiver, unless it's DeAndre Hopkins, and everybody knows that's the guy, you throw it up and you got a 75% chance of him catching the ball, even if it's good coverage. Outside of that, I'm going to be really interested to see, really intrigued to see who emerges. Because you can't predict it right now. You can't predict that Will Fuller is going to be the safety outlet, or Brandon Cooks is going to be that safety outlet, or whomever, Randall Cobb maybe, whomever, maybe David Johnson out of the backfield, whatever. It's going to just happen over the course of the first part of the season. I think Brandon Cooks, you know, what I took out of that availability, and by the way, we're going to have David Johnson here in a second. They're, things are popping over there at NRG, so you'll be able to hear it here. And don't forget, of course, you know,
B.O.B.
You can go back. B.O.B. is going to be talking Bill, as baby. Well. But you can, if you miss any of this or have to step away for a minute, you can go to radio.com and just kind of hit that DVR button, in essence, is what it is, and you can listen to the whole show or segments of the show, whatever. So don't miss any, but if you do, you can go to radio.com. Here's the thing with Brandon Cooks today. Asked about the concussion concerns, quote, zero.
What do you expect him to say? You
exactly.
Want him to say I'm terrified?
No, I get it. And he also said that, you know, if he had any concerns, he wouldn't be playing. I wouldn't expect anything less than that. But that kind of ties into what I just talked about, was if he's healthy. You know, I kind of shortchanged him when I was talking about how J.J. Watt and Phillip Rivers and Derrick Henry are the guys that are going to absolutely determine the AFC South. I'm not going to go quite that far with Brandon Cooks, but if he has a 1,200-yard year like he had year before last, if he doesn't have those concussions and has a 1,200-yard year with the other weapons on this team, it's going to be a squad, man. It's going to be a squad here. I don't think it will. It's hard to say, to predict that, given his concussions, but if he does, it's going to be a squad.
I want to make something very clear. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here 5 weeks away from Texans versus Chiefs and training camp going on right now. We're going to continue to go live out there over the course of the show. I want to make something very clear. You can sell me on this offense.
Yeah.
You could sell me on this offense being good. I could be sold. If this was a top five offense, given the investments and given the potential and the playmaking, I could be sold on that. Mm-hmm. I can be sold on that. But you can't sell me on the DeAndre Hopkins trade, because my concern is that because you did give David Johnson the $10 million and because you took that salary back, it kind of handcuffed you in regards to maybe adding some pieces on defense. And when you lose guys like DJ Reader to the Cincinnati Bengals, who was as important to your defense, that's my reservations.
Yeah.
It's not an option for this offense to be good, but I can be sold on it because of Brandon Cooks, because of Deshaun Watson. It's gonna rely on Tim Kelly, but would I be completely shocked if this offense wasn't one of the five best, 10 best in the league? I would not. But the question is, could they have also done that with Nuke Hopkins, and why did you take back $10 million of David Johnson's salary? That's really the question that I have, and that's really my reservations. And speaking of the devil, J-Lo.
Mm-hmm.
David Johnson, a man that you say is going to rush for less than 500 yards this year, which I think is a little bit harsh.
Rush. I always like
less
to clarify.
Than 500 yards. I think he's going to have 1,000. He's one of the five highest paid running backs in the NFL. Hasn't been the same since 2016. He's been saying he's going to prove doubters wrong since January of 2018. That is his pinned tweet at the top of his profile. We'll hear from David Johnson, one of the key pieces of the DeAndre Hopkins trade, live at NRG as Texans training camp continues next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
5 weeks till the start of the season. David Johnson going to line up to the right or left of Deshaun Watson. Hell, he might line up in the slot. He's been known to catch a ball or two. There's one thing that he does do well. It is catch that rock.
Yeah, it is.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. David Johnson, very polarizing figure. I blame fantasy football. I think he's won some people fantasy football leagues. I think he's lost some people fantasy football leagues. So I think part of the reason that there's such a polarizing reaction to David Johnson is that most people play fantasy football, and chances are a lot of
people are holding a grudge.
Whether it was a midseason pickup when he was a rookie, whether it was taking him in the first round in 2016 when he basically won people leagues, whether it was taking him the years after that where he was pretty much a fantasy bust, I think that's why David Johnson is such a polarizing figure. And oh, by the way, you sprinkle in the fact that DeAndre Hopkins was traded and David Johnson, after three meh years, was a big part of the compensation. He has, as Paul Wall would say, the internet going nuts in H-Town, J-Lo.
It absolutely would. You know, with David Johnson, I almost feel like guilty that I've made that prediction. It's not something that I've ever wanted to do. It's based on how he has performed.
Reset the prediction.
In recent years. I don't think he's going to run the ball for more than 500 yards this year. I don't know about – and the reason I say that, hoping to be wrong, is because of his health, the fact that his production was so bad last year. And he's talked about this in recent weeks, and we're about to play some of his audio today in a bit. But he's talked about it, that he's also – was benched. You know, he was third team. So based on all that, I don't anticipate a lot.
Here is David Johnson out there at NRG Live at training camp. John McClain, hopefully he gets the first question.
Can you talk about the threat that you will provide the Texans with Duke Johnson? This franchise has never had two back who can catch the ball like you guys can, and what you envision your role is?
Oh, we're going to be a lethal threat, me and Duke. Not just as running, but like you said, it's catching the ball. Really making defenses have to try to figure out if they go base or sub. And we're going to try to really expose their defense. And whatever they, you know, give us, we're going to definitely be able to use that as an advantage for us. And we're going to be able to really be able to help out this offense and this Texans organization. And for me, I just want to be able to be utilized in every facet of the offense as a running back first off, and then being split out as a receiver, coming out of the backfield, and just having the ball in my hands, being able to get the yards needed, the first downs, the touchdowns, and really just be able to be effective in the offense for this organization, for Coach Kelly, for Coach O'Brien.
When in the times you've worked with him, what have you found out about Deshaun that maybe you didn't know that you wanted to know?
Honestly, I knew he was a great quarterback. I knew he was a great scrambler, being able to avoid tackles and sacks. I think the biggest thing I've learned is how smart he is, how well he knows the offense, like I said earlier. You would think he came up with the offense. And then his ability to know defenses, knowing coverages, knowing what to audible the play to put us on top, to win that play against the defense, whatever they throw at us, being able to just watch film from last year and knowing how much of a playmaker he is, honestly, and just seeing it firsthand, and the little thing, the little spurts that we have in this walk.
Hey, David, with Duke obviously being your teammate, I think it's a lot of people think maybe you guys will run more two-back sets or use a lot of two-back sets, but you haven't necessarily played in a ton of them throughout your career. Just what are the kind of the challenges of feeling comfortable running and catching out of like 21, 22, et cetera?
I mean, we have done it enough where I'm comfortable, honestly. Me and Andre Ellington, me and Chris Johnson, we've done it a few times. Last year with Chase, we've done it a few times in the year before that. So I'm actually pretty comfortable with it. I think it'll really help out our offense is what I feel, because they're not going to know who's going out of the backfield, who's blocking, or if we're both going out of the backfield, who's lining up at receiver, who's staying in to run the ball. So I feel like it's going to honestly help out the offense a lot.
David, we've talked a lot about you as a pass catcher out of the backfield, your receiving background. How do you view yourself specifically as a runner between the tackles, and And what's your assessment of the offensive line you're going to be playing with here?
I view myself as a capable runner between the tackles, knowing how to set up blocks, knowing how to use my leverage and being able to distinguish what the linebackers, what the D-line's doing, and getting through those holes, those tight holes. And
we'll take a couple more. Seth Payne.
Players mentioned the Quizlets. Could you take us through exactly how you guys are using those, like how in-depth they are? What's your mean score? Like how hard are these things?
So I think I'm the only one who used Quizlet. I don't know if anyone else. I'm the one who's used Quizlet ever since I got into the league as a rookie. And what it is literally just flashcards that you can use, and they give you different choices, multiple choice. You can write it out, or it's between they give you different questions. And so it's helped me out a lot. And I think especially learning this offense is back to kind of a BA type offense where there's a lot that goes into it. There's one play, but there's multiple formations that it can be ran out of. And so Quizlet has helped me out a lot in learning this offense. And like I said, since I'm going to be utilized a lot coming out of the backfield and being used as a receiver, I had to learn formations. And he uses a lot of different formations, which is really good because, you know, at the beginning it's tough to learn. But once I get it down, it's going to be very good for us in disguising what we're running, what we're doing on the field.
David, you mentioned that Zoom is a little bit harder for you to learn. You'd rather be out on the field. So how important are these padded practices going to be for you in the backs, and also the intra-squad scrimmages? Bill O'Brien said that you guys were going to have some of those coming up. And then as a follow-up, your assessment of some of the other backs that are competing for that third running back spot behind you and Duke.
For me, it's going to be very, very important for these outside practices. And like you said, just because I'm more, like I said, learning on the field, and just the timing of the blocking, being able to correlate with Deshaun and his, tendencies as a throwing the ball to me, being able to run the ball between the tackles outside, and just being out on the field is going to help me a lot compared to Zoom. Because for me, watching it, I hate to say it, but I kind of space off a little bit watching Zoom and stuff. So it's tough for me to learn that way. But on the field, I can stay focused a lot more. And as far as third backs, we have a lot of good players for us. Buddy, Hill, we got a lot of good guys. Scotty, who just got here this year. So I think they're going to be really good. And it's going to be tough for the O'Brien and for the organization to pick that third string back for sure.
Hey, David, can you talk about the relationship you built with Darren Fells in Arizona and have an opportunity to play with him again?
So me and Darren actually got to Arizona. It was both our first years in the league. And so we were both kind of scrambling, trying to figure out not just the playbook, but being in the NFL. And so honestly, we were both kind of fending for ourselves. Him being a tight end, me being a running back, made a big difference as well. But I did know that he picked up that offense pretty quickly. And I know that he's a professional, first and foremost. He knows how to handle himself on and off the field. And me and him joke about it all the time that he was really the second coach in the tight ends room our year after he learned the playbook so fast. And we talk all the time about, you know, those days and how good we were in 2015. And we're trying to do the same thing here in Houston. And I'm glad that, you know, I get a familiar face here that I don't have to learn. And we can kind of talk to each other. I know how, you know, he plays already and is going to help out our offense a lot just because I know how his tendencies, that he's a great runner, blocker for the run game. And he's good in the, you know, red zone scoring touchdowns.
All right, that's David Johnson live at NRG. I don't know how I feel about starting running back that is going to be relied upon, who's one of the five highest paid running backs in the league, replacing DeAndre Hopkins, admitting that he spaces out in Zoom meetings.
Those are kind of important this offseason there, David.
Well, but you're keep in mind now, he's a Quizlet guy. He's a Quizlet kind of guy, which I like.
What does that mean?
It's basically online flashcards. I've taken Quizlet tests before.
Oh, wow.
You can
what?
Do you just... It might have been for something for the radio, for the show, you know.
Really?
But anyway, they're pretty cool. They're fun. Basically, flashcards that you can have video and images on them and stuff. It's pretty cool.
He spaces out. during Zoom meetings.
Yeah, that's not that okay. Wasn't the best part.
Yeah, that's not great.
It's not great.
When you're learning a new system, you're learning a new offense. That's not the most encouraging thing that I've heard.
Where's David? I don't know. He's
leading
spaced
up
out.
To camp. He's spaced out. Here it is, right here. David Johnson talking about Zoom meetings. We know how important Zoom meetings are. Here's the guy that DeAndre Hopkins was traded for, talking about, you know, learning things from the Zoom.
Being out on the field is going to help me a lot compared to Zoom, because for me watching it, I hate to say it, but I kind of space off a little bit watching Zoom and okay. stuff, so it's tough for me. Right.
Sorry to bother you, sorry to inconvenience you there, David Johnson. You know what? You might be right about that 500 yards. My goodness, David Johnson. Nah, I'm still going to go with 1,000. I think he'll be all right, but quit spacing out on the Zoom. Please, Bill O'Brien cannot be happy to hear that. We'll hear from Bill O'Brien at noon, the king, live at NRG. We're also going to hear from John McClain. You just heard his voice. We'll hear from him. You heard Seth Payne.
Yeah, about that. Seth Payne in on that.
Is getting kind of weird.
Messing with the Zoom.
On the Zoom. Not weird, but things are getting weird with Seth there. We'll react to that. We're also going to react to Dusty Baker playing chess, a feel-good story for the Astros, and some stuff going on in the NFL that the Texans might want to make note of 5 weeks away from the season. The hits are lit next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Heard from David Johnson, heard from Brandon Cooks. We will hear from the king at noon. Bill O'Brien, 5 weeks away from Texans versus Kansas City Chiefs. Those damn Kansas City Chiefs. The Honey Badger, Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce. By the way, did you see Travis Kelce broke up with his girlfriend?
I did, and it got a little ugly, huh?
He's being accused of getting with a Becky.
Oh, man.
What is a Becky, Figgy?
A white girl.
A
white girl, yep.
He got with a white girl?
Yep, that's where the Becky is.
That tweet has since been deleted by Travis Kelce. So he was dating a black girl.
I'm confused.
And he got with a white girl.
Do you know a black girl named Becky?
No. I'm confused.
I'm trying to think.
Because it's common, I would say it's not a controversial thing to say, for most people dating someone of their own, you know, culture and race, right?
But see, it was different for him because he was invited to the cookout because he was so cool. You know, he act like a black guy. So, yeah.
So
you break up with your black...
That blows my mind.
You break up with your black girlfriend to get with a Becky.
Well, this might be good for the Texans, too, because...
Yeah?
Pat Mahomes' girlfriend and Travis Kelce's ex-girlfriend...
Yeah.
...were good friends.
See...
Now, maybe it's
going to
get awkward.
You're overblowing this.
Okay, in every breakup, someone keeps the friends and someone loses the friends, and sometimes it gets awkward when you remain friends with your ex's friends. I'm telling you,
you're overblowing
this. This could be just what the Texans ordered, this breakup by Travis Kelce, who allegedly got with a Becky. He denies getting with a Becky.
Yeah, he denies that. But I think you're overblowing that because this isn't like a – Yes, they were friends, and I'm positive they did social things together. But They were on boats. But in that locker room, it's not even going to be mentioned. You know, when guys...
What?
It's not.
What?
Let's say...
They're not going to talk about breaking up.
Let's say you...
Come
and,
on, bro.
Let's say you and Figgy were single. Well, you are single. But, you dated Figgy's girl, and they were best friends, okay? If you broke up with this girl, you and Figgy, your relationship would not change one iota in this building. Not one iota.
It would be a little awkward, though.
But if the girls are
good
friends.
You wouldn't.
But if the girls are
guys
friends,
are different than girls.
If it's as girl as like hit
this
me
just
up
in,
and like,
breaking
cool.
news.
And plus, what if Kelce did get with a Becky? And what if he did cheat? And what if Mahomes' girlfriend is mad at Travis Kelce?
In that
and
locker
Mahomes
room, it's not
going to
matter.
Buddy?
In that locker room, it's not going to matter.
That's his boy's back. Have you ever heard of, that's a different love triangle. I was going to mention the old
I'm not
Mavericks,
saying
the
Figgy,
90s Mavericks, Jason Kidd and Jim Jackson with Tyra Banks.
I'm not saying
or
it wouldn't
Tyra
be a,
Banks.
Yeah, right.
Who was it? Tony Braxton.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be a little awkward, especially with your girl and his girl and and all that, and she's going to be in your ear saying, "I hate that guy."
It depends how Pat Mahomes handle it.
But
if
once
he said,
you're,
nah,
but,
this is work, baby.
Right. But once you're in the locker room, it's not even going to be mentioned. First, and another thing, do you know how many Eskimo brothers are in NFL locker rooms? I would say 20%.
You'd say 20% of NFL players are Eskimo brothers?
Yeah.
That's your estimation. I don't know. I'll let you have that one, sir. I'll let you have that one. But we'll see what happens. 5 weeks. Texans versus Chiefs. Man, that was Travis Kelce back then.
And now?
Now?
Now that he's dating a Becky.
How you doing, sir?
That's rad.
Can you call my mother?
Is it Noki?
So after the Texans face the Chiefs, they're going to face the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore Ravens, best record in the league last year in the regular season. Their only weakness might be they don't have a true number one receiver. That's what a lot of people say about the Baltimore Ravens. Now, they have added Devin Duvernay out of the University of Texas in the second round. They do have Marquise Hollywood Brown, who in his rookie year only had over 500 yards and 8 touchdowns, but he had a hurt foot.
Mm-hmm.
He had a hurt foot, and that's something that a lot of people haven't really taken into account. Hollywood Brown has also put on some weight, so they timed him the first day they worked out. Apparently, he's as fast as he ever was, and he's also put on 23 pounds.
Yeah.
I don't know how good Hollywood can be as far as a number one receiver, but I'm a big fan of Hollywood Brown and his college teammate, Mark Andrews. And I'm a big fan of Gus Johnson back in the day with his play-by-play courtesy of Fox calling Hollywood Brown touchdowns.
Baker drops back. He's looking. He's looking. Throws it deep. Hollywood.
Mayfield winds up down the field. Hollywood. Who is this kid? Where'd he come from?
He was a junior college transfer from the College of the Canyons. That's where he came from, but he originated out of Hollywood, Florida.
He's also the cousin of Antonio Brown, and Hollywood Brown, and Antonio Brown's been handed an 8-game suspension, co-signed what Lamar Jackson said earlier, and he would like to see Antonio Brown in a Ravens jersey. If Hollywood Brown is better than he was last year, and he's a more complete receiver, that's trouble for the rest of the league, especially with the addition of J.K. Dobbins and Devin Duvernay. And if they had Antonio Brown for the final stretch,
yeah,
they're already one of the best teams in the league. That's going to be a tough, tough matchup. And oh, by the way, Texans got Chiefs and then Ravens starting in 5 weeks.
By the way, I've added 5 pounds of muscle during the pandemic.
Okay. A lot of people have gained a lot of muscle during the pandemic. It seems.
I just love that term. I just love that so much. I'm waiting for the first one, to come in and say, you know, Hollywood Brown gained 13 pounds of fat over the offseason.
Well, they say Baker Mayfield gained 4 pounds of muscle.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Not 4 pounds of fat.
They wanted him to lay off that beer.
Did he?
I have no idea. He gained 4 pounds of muscle, so maybe. That's what they say.
Literally, I'm waiting for the first time. He's gained 10 pounds of fat in the offseason. Never going to happen. Ever.
Seen James Harden do it before.
Yeah, but they don't say it. They just act like it doesn't happen.
He doesn't look like he's in shape.
Anytime they reference someone gaining weight in the offseason, I'm not saying players haven't gotten fat. Oh, trust me, we know that. But anytime a team says or a coach or someone says, you know, he's gained 10 pounds of muscle. Has anyone ever said, you know, he's gotten really, really fat?
No. All right, so you got the Chiefs in 5 weeks. And then 10 days after that, you got the Ravens. You're also going to have the Colts twice. You heard David Johnson say that he zones out during the Zoom. Bill O'Brien has said that he hates the Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Indianapolis Colts coach Frank Reich talking about all the stuff, including Zoom calls and all the protocols that are going to take place, and his outlook on it heading into the season. Here's a quote from Frank Reich, courtesy of our guy Kevin Bowen. Quote, There is probably not a day that has gone by in the last 2 weeks that Chris and I haven't talked about the maturity of our team. Naturally, we're biased like anybody's biased, but I believe this puts our team at a competitive advantage. I really do. I believe that because I believe we have high character guys who are willing to sacrifice and guys willing to do their best to do the right thing. Frank Reich says that everything going on is an advantage for his football team. Take it tongue in cheek because that's what coaches say.
Yeah.
But I texted Kevin Bowen, who covers the Colts out there and was in this call, and he said that that seems to be the real belief, is that this Colts team with giddy-ass Phillip Rivers, Frank Reich, and all the other guys they have coming off a disappointing season also, that really does seem to be the mindset of the Colts. And you've heard Darius Leonard say they flat-out sucked last year.
Look, I don't mind this. I don't think he's inaccurate in the sense of it's better to have character guys on your team than bad characters on your team. It sometimes goes a little too far. I thought Bill O'Brien yesterday talking about David Johnson, you know, saying, you know, he's a guy that's battled, that's come back from injuries, and he's worked hard and all that. And did you know he was the Arizona Walter Payton Man of the Year? That matters nothing to me. I know David Johnson has high character. He is a high character guy. I think that makes him a better player. But, you know, it's not the reason that he's good. If David Johnson was 5'6" and weighed 114 pounds, he wouldn't be on this team. You know, it's great to have high character guys. I think it does, in a subtle way, set a culture that makes a team, can make a team better. But that's not the end all by any stretch.
1891 on the text line says that Travis Kelce wanted a POG.
What's a POG?
P-A-W-G. Not like the POGs that you used to play with the circle. POG.
Yeah, yeah,
P-A-W-G.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know what a POG is?
Pretty ass white girl.
Oh.
What is wrong with you, Figgy?
I don't know what it is. I remember POGs. My kids played with them all the time.
That's P-O-G.
Yeah.
Not P-A-W-G.
You slap them on each other?
Not P-A-W-G. Come on, Figgy.
You said POG.
Yeah. P-A-W-G.
Let's go to the Urban Dictionary.
Come on, guys. Race
car! I was guessing what it was.
I'm sorry. I never heard that. Down guy on the show.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
It's a fat ass white girl.
Oh, okay.
P-H-A-T.
Well, I figured that part out.
How did you not know that?
I did not know that.
Ironically, I think the guy that might like POGs, P-A-W-Gs, more than anyone on this show might be to my right.
Let me think. Yeah.
Jeez. See, everybody knows. Text.
I'm going to be dropping that all the time.
Text. Yeah, look at that POG. Oh, you are definitely going to be using that.
I'm going to use it by the end of the segment. You know our old... No, I won't say that.
Yeah, we already almost got in trouble for talking about that. Building's a lot more empty now than it used to be.
POG, though, baby.
POG. You go down the hall, take a left, right? There to the right.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky, she's making a copy.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing those glasses.
Yep.
Who?
POG.
Smiling. Derek Carr.
That's entrapment.
This is an interesting transition. Derek Carr of the Raiders. So we know that the Chiefs are going to be a hurdle for the Texans. We know that the Ravens are going to be a hurdle for the Texans. 5 weeks away from the start of the season, we're going to go live to training camp, talk to Bill O'Brien. We know that the Colts are going to be a hurdle two times for the Texans. Las Vegas Raiders, they're hoping to be in competition with the Texans to make the postseason. They're looking to, you know, finish the job unlike they could last year. They were in the playoff mix, and then they lost to the Jets and the Jags. Not a recipe for success when you lose to those two dog-butted football teams.
Mm-hmm.
But Derek Carr is determined. Derek Carr, the brother of David, the first draft pick in Texans franchise history, he's determined, and he's got a chip on his shoulder. He was asked, and by the way, Marcus Mariota is there to push him, but Derek Carr was asked if he thought about opting out this year. Simple yes or no question. But he just decided to go all out Billy Badass when asked if he thought about opting out this season.
When this thing came up, I did not. I have a lot to prove to myself. I have a lot to prove to my organization. I'm going to be completely honest here. I'm tired of being disrespected. So there was no question I was going to play this year.
Ooh.
I saw this yesterday. Gosh. Yeah, I saw this yesterday.
Derek Carr is tired of being disrespected.
Who's disrespected, Derek Carr?
Oh my gosh.
Who has disrespected? He's, I mean,
better
if you
watch out, NFL. Maybe, watch out, Chiefs.
Maybe this is the Heisman should go to a senior. you can talk about an NFL quarterback not living up to expectations. I think that's allowed, right? That's not disrespecting anyone. In fact, he's probably gotten more respect than most quarterbacks in that same position because of where he was drafted. Would other quarterbacks have still, you know, had their job, you know, given their shortcomings or their, you know, falling short of expectations?
I guess like we just kind of disrespected him, though. Yeah. So we kind of added to his point. Marcus, we made fun of
him. Marcus Mariota is going to disrespect him. I guarantee you that, okay. Or at least try to.
Yeah, we'll see what.
You see what happened with John Gruden?
He faked that he had the COVID?
This is sorry, man. That is sorry.
He faked that he had the Rona. Yeah, I saw
just
that.
To see how the players would react and be more accountable and all
oh,
that.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. I got coronavirus 2 days later or however long. I was just testing you.
That's
how
ridiculous.
Low can you go?
That's absolutely ridiculous. I would file a grievance.
How low can you
if
go?
If I were. By the way. 713-572-4610. Loopholes, I love you. Let me say something real quick to you guys. Real quick. Put the music down just a sec, Fig. Let me say something.
Oh, you're getting serious.
Okay. I got the best effing sports takes at this station. Okay? Nobody has the best sports takes at this station. I give them to you 4 hours a day from 10 to 2 Monday through Friday. I give them to you after the damn postgame show. I put in all this research, and the most reaction I get on the text line and the most approval I get on the text line is when I know what a fat-ass white girl is. Let's continue, Figgy. Jonnu Smith.
Less than a humble brag right there.
Of the Tennessee Titans. I think of all the people that can take the next step this year, all the players in this division, I think Jonnu Smith, the tight end for the Titans, replacing Delanie Walker, I think at the end of the year we could be saying this guy emerged as one of the best in the game at his position. I really do. I think he has that much talent.
I'm not going to fight you on that. I think he's got a lot of space left to improve. Put it that way. No, I agree.
Here is Jonnu Smith. He got asked four questions at the start of his media availability about filling Delanie Walker's shoes. And finally, Jonnu Smith, who, by the way, he looks like a badass on the field. He sounds like one.
Yeah,
dude.
He does.
This dude sounds like a BMF that you don't want to mess with. If this guy called you and said, catch me outside.
You don't want to go outside.
You're hanging up and acting like you don't have cell phone reception. Here's Jonnu Smith on filling the shoes of former Titans tight end Delanie Walker.
I'm trying to surpass fulfilling the shoes that he walked in. I myself, I always talked about never setting limitations on myself. And I felt like if I was to say that I'm just trying to fill shoes at this point, you know, I'm selling myself short. So I just want to continue to surpass everything Delanie's did. And, what any great tight end has done, man, I'm trying to be the best. And, that's the foundation, you know, laid out for myself. And I just got to fulfill that.
Man, I would let him snatch my chain and steal my bike.
His physical presence is just intimidating. I mean, the tight ends in general, like the Texans have some big old tight ends. This dude is just imposing, man.
He's fast as hell,
and he's,
too.
It's fast not like it's not too. Like he has a
he
lot.
He runs like a receiver.
I was just going to say, it's not like he has a long way to go to get to make a huge impact.
Man, I'm telling you, the arrow is pointing up on Jonnu Smith. Keep an eye on that guy out there in Tennessee. Astros. My goodness, guys. Perfect through three innings, 4-0 lead. Lance McCullers grooving. Then all of a sudden, the next seven Diamondbacks get on base. A 9-run fourth inning. 8 of those runs allowed by Lance McCullers. Astros lose 14-7. That is a football score, my friend.
Who wants to tell Lance McCullers Jr.?
Lance McCullers not happy because they opened the roof at the start of the fourth. This is what Lance McCullers had to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, opening the roof in the fourth is ass. I was trying to lick my fingers, but I was told, I was warned I couldn't do that. Obviously, COVID.
Obviously, COVID.
What's up,
just,
bro?
Look, well, you used the right word term there, bro. What you're saying, Lance, is you feel as if the Diamondbacks got an unfair advantage?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I heard.
By using technology? That's pressing a button and opening the roof?
That's what I heard.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I heard.
Who wants to tell him?
You can.
I'd rather not. He's a little guy that's feisty.
You
probably
can.
Punch me in the nose.
Go ahead.
But if he does hear this, let me just put it this way. You can't do it. I get your point. I get Lance's point. You know, it affected the game. But by the way, you knew before the game that they were going to open the roof in the fourth inning. They told they told Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker told you. It was out in the media that they were going to open the roof. And you know, when you are an Astro, it might not be fair, but when you are an Astro, you can't complain about stuff like that. That is a quote unfair advantage in your opinion. And we all know why.
Rubber game tonight, 6:07. Then they got a series with the Ace. Got some 3 o'clock baseball this weekend. Cannot wait for that. Big 4 days for the Astros. We're going to be about a fourth through the season when we're back on the air on Monday. So game and a half behind Oakland would be nice to get things going. Dusty Baker made some changes in the rotation. It's almost like he took my suggestion. I said put Brandon Belak in there, move Josh James to the bullpen. I'll be damned if Brandon Belak's not going to make his first big league start tonight. Josh James goes back to the bullpen. Zach Greinke starting Friday. Dusty Baker playing chess. Dusty, thank you for taking my advice. Would you care to go in detail why you took my advice?
We took James out of the rotation. And we substituted Belak because I think we need James in the bullpen. Belak has pitched well in long relief. And we're going to switch to Greinke on Friday because these guys, they know him, you know, quite well from playing with him. And, you know, Oakland's team is predominantly right-handed. You know, we need him in the game against Oakland.
Okay, so you move Greinke to the Oakland game. You start my man Belak tonight. I like the strategy, Dusty. Thinking ahead. That's very, very smart. Let's get a little mushy here.
Let's get mushy.
Brandon Belak making his first start. We remember him driving from Corpus Christi the day of the game when he made his big league debut and got the W. He was supposed to get the buffet ready, but he drove to the game.
Yeah.
Brandon Belak yesterday meeting with the media types, talking about people who he thanks for getting him to the point where he's at, J-Lo.
I mean, my dad was one of my biggest coaches growing up. There's a lot of people that I can thank to get me to where I am today. So I thank all those coaches out there just helping me get to where I am today. So yeah, I thank all those people. My dad texted me today that he wishes that they can all be here and watching. And I feel terrible that they can't, but hopefully in the future they'll be able to make it out.
There you go.
That's, you know, he's just a great story. Great move, by the way, by
Smart,
Dusty.
Baby.
You know, the Greinke, get him out of Arizona since they know him so well. Get these other guys in. Josh James, you can't be that wild.
Yep.
You know, even though he's pretty excited about being, you know, the one hit he gave up.
Yep. There you go. Brandon Belak tonight, Zach Greinke tomorrow in Oakland. Then you're going to have Framber Valdez on Saturday. And then Sunday, Christian Javier. That was some legit mushiness from Brandon Belak. Mark Berman, again, a thorn in Dusty's side. He tried to get mushy about Christian Javier, and Dusty really didn't. I don't know where he pulled this from. Here we go. Berman, come on.
Hey, Dusty, Christian said last night you had him give a speech to the team. How'd he handle it?
Who?
Christian Javier said you had him give a speech last night.
I didn't see the speech. I didn't see it. He was in the clubhouse. It wasn't very long, I'll tell you that. You know what I mean? I do know that. You know what I mean? So there's probably a few words. He's a great kid.
He gave a speech. What? Dusty's like, okay, I guess he talked to the team. I don't know. That is the great Mark Berman. We'll hear from him probably in just a sec. With Bill O'Brien, Rockets, by the way, tonight against the Lakers. Lakers on the back end of a back-to-back. Rockets looking to keep ground with the rest of the West out there in the NBA. Let's go live to training camp. Bill O'Brien going to meet with the media types. We'll hear what the King has to say next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.